This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight on our radio show, we're going to have Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts, and also Sheila Skelly and Dr. Joe Briscoe join us for our segment on plastic surgery called Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. Margaret Gray will have her telethon for Amber Fry. First, Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us this evening early on. Jay, how are you doing?
I'm always very good, Phil. It's always a pleasure to be in your program.
Operation Sweep was initiated in May and June of this year in Washington, in Seattle, Washington, and in Detroit. Tell us the gist of what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is up to with Operation Sweep.
Well, Phil, primarily you have a lot of these young ladies in high schools who are actively participating in programs promoting car wash, high school car washes. I'm sure you're all familiar with those. We see them on street corners. And
sure, when the kids get out there and try to raise money.
When the kids are out trying to raise money for bands, for football programs in this kind of a situation. Where we become concerned and where we get involved is when these young ladies are out on the street corner waving signs around and acting, sometimes could be a sexual manner. In point of fact, it doesn't take a leap of the imagination to realize this is where the crimes of prostitution is committed. And the reason why we say this, when you put a young high school female out on a street corner and she is waving a high school car wash sign and saying, come on in, get your car washed, and this kind of nonsense, she is standing on that very spot where someday, if we are not careful, if we are not vigilant, she may find herself earning a living, such as it is.
Are you drawing a comparison between prostitute street corner standing?
That is exactly. And the kids at different high schools that have these car washes, we've monitored them for about the past 8 months, Phil. I don't know if the average citizen is aware of this, but the parents and teachers of these kids put them out onto these street corners to drum up business, if you will, in the process of drumming up this business. And I got no quarrel with that. Please understand, the Citizens Auxiliary Police has no quarrel with that. We're getting car wash business for different things at school, what have you. Where we become concerned is that the young people we see who stand out on a corner to get the business are usually young females who, in the process of getting business, do make different body motions, do make different gyrations, and if you will, are appealing to prurient interest with the driver.
Well, give me an example of what you mean. I've certainly seen the kids out there with the car wash signs trying to raise money for the band, for the football team.
Generally, they put the female, young females, a lot of them, state of California and some of the warmer states, and wearing their bathing suits and bikini and this kind of nonsense. May or June, we did two sweeps, Phil, of Seattle and Washington.
But did you see young women, young high school women, waving car wash signs and acting sexual?
We had two subcommanders, Subcommander Swanson and Gillite, monitor. These are both young men. They told us at that time. The women that they saw were doing different dance moves, gyrating, jumping up and down, and this kind of thing. We're obviously trying to make get these two young men aroused for the purpose of having them take their cars into the wash.
And now you understand what it is you're saying. I've seen the kids, mostly female, calling out the drivers, get your car washed here, sir, and all that.
Exactly.
All right. But I've never seen any appealing to the prurient interest of the driver. Was this just something you saw in those particular regions?
No, we have gotten complaints for a number of sections around the country.
Well, what is it to say that these girls dancing and getting sexual, kids dance, right?
Well, here's where the problem comes into play. Our two subcommanders reported that they're jumping around, these females and all the things that can happen. It was a 214, which essentially tells the officer that she is trying to arouse him and get them all aroused. And we just think it's gotten sexual, some of these things.
Well, it's difficult to indict high school car washes as having girls dancing suggestively, right?
The problem is you've got parents and teachers sending these kids out on the street corners to, I don't want to say to arouse male passengers in the cars. And,
well, I mean, that's quite an indictment, isn't it?
But that is the essential thrust. Major Elvis Newton, who is the co-founder and commander of Citizens Auxiliary Police, it is a form of solicitation, in his opinion. And Major Newton did do, I don't want to call it undercover, but he was not in uniform. And the tragedy, I think, is that he did become involved with one of these high school students. And
are you talking about sexually?
He, at that time, yes, he did. So this was, in our opinion, a form of solicitation.
And so you are going to be going to different gas stations or parking lots, wherever kids are having high school car washes, and shutting them down, right?
No, we're not going to shut them down. We are going to talk to the kids about moving along. What we're always going to do, what we're just trying to do is clear the area, get the kids out of there, get them out of the situation that these parents and teachers have put them in. And at that time, then we can sit down and have a conversation with parent and teacher about it.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's a volunteer police group that, in their words, they try to, anything that slips through the cracks with the regular police, they try to take care of. High school car washes, you've seen them, we've seen them, we've all seen them, where kids are out there trying to drum up business to get people in to get their car washed so they can raise money. Your claim is that the girls that are out on the sidewalk getting the business are being prurient, that they're being sexual.
Well, I'm not saying that they're consciously doing it. What I'm saying to you, Phil, is that the schools very subtly encourage it, the parents very subtly encourage it, because they know that when a man drives by, he sees a little, you know, one of these little high school babes or whatever you want to say, and she's acting all hot, then it's going to get the male hot. Now, we've had two sub-commanders indicate that 214, that they were, she was attempting to arouse them, and that's when we have to intervene. And
now, you confronted these car washes in the past. You plan to do the same thing in September?
Well, school starts about a week for many schools.
So when school starts?
That is correct. And we are simply asking the kids in the corner, the girls in the corner, to tone down what they're doing. We're asking them to think about what they're doing to families. We're asking the teachers to think about the girls they've sent out to behave this way. We also have with us, if need be, different sayings, different quotes from the Bible, what have you, and ask young girls not to show everything at the high school car wash.
And what if people do not comply? Because, again, you're not an official police agency.
Well, we're not an official police agency. We are a Citizens Auxiliary Police. We do have arrest powers granted to us under the Constitution, which is Citizens Arrest Power. And we will get the job done. I mean, we work with a code here.
Well, I want to ask you, what if people do not comply?
Well, that is something that we don't like to think about, Phil, because one of the three standing codes we go by in Citizens Auxiliary Police, the three are, we're about saving lives, that's number one. Number two, let's keep our neighborhoods clean. And the third, there's an easy way and there's a hard way. And I can tell you what I tell the kids. You don't want option three. We want to do this the easy way. We don't want to do it the hard way. And having these girls in the corner could lead to something more serious, as we mentioned, like prostitution, this kind of thing.
Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, 1-800-449-8686. The American tradition, and that's what you're talking about here, Jay, an American tradition of kids standing on the corner during the school year getting car wash business, you're saying leads directly to prostitution. And I think...
No, Phil, I have not said that. I'm saying that there is a link. If you think about the traditional...
Well, no, you said it leads to prostitution, and you were also saying... Did you indicate that one of your officers got sexually involved with one of these girls?
I'm saying that we went out with Major Elvis Newton, did some undercover plainclothes work, and saw a high school car wash in progress in the Torrance Downey area. At that time, he pulled over. He got to talking to one of these gals, and he was, in point of fact, aroused. And at that particular time, at that place, did get aroused. And we're trying to say that this puts the kid in as much trouble as it does anybody else. So we are going to ask the kids to clear the area out. And
let me ask you a question. If you're shutting down these high school car washes, how are these schools supposed... Personally, I think any public school that has its kids going out trying to raise money, it's pretty sad. I think public school means public school, but I don't want to comment on that. How are they supposed to raise money if not that?
That's up to them, Phil. What I'm trying to do is just save lives. What we're trying to do is just clear the area. That's all we're trying to do. It's not my job. It's not my purview. You're asking me a political question. I'm not into politics. What I'm into is just clearing the area, keeping the community safe, and making sure that we're not... An inducement to solicitation is a crime, and that's why I think technically high school car washes are in violation.
All right, I want to hear you very clearly. You're saying that kids standing on a street corner soliciting...
Kids standing on a street corner soliciting business for a car wash when they have a little female out there, these little sophomore, freshman, little cute girls and everything, what they're doing is an inducement to solicitation.
even though there is nothing sexual intended by them.
No, these are kids. They don't know what they're doing. They don't. They have no clear. Well, they got an idea. I'm sure they know they look. Well, I'm probably know they look, you know, hot or whatever in their little tight bikinis and everything. But Major Newton, who is a grandfather, he is a father of three children. He is a Korean War veteran and one of the more stand-up people that I've ever met in my life. If he was induced to want to see them take their clothes off and everything, then that, to me, is a sign that these kids on the corner are into, you know, some pretty, I would say, dangerous territory.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, and he also indicted the teachers and the parents that he says, quote, send the girls out there to stand on street corners and to get business for high school car washes. Is this an inducement? Is this a solicitation? Do the girls, even though they are honestly and innocently believing that they're trying to get people in for their high school car wash, are they arousing male drivers, and is that a reason to finally shut down these high school, public high school, street corner high school car washes? Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police says that Operation Sweep will begin in September. They're going to be going to in various communities, telling the kids to shut the car washes down, asking them to clear the area, because he says it is technically a violation of the law to have these girls out there waving signs around in their bikinis or even just wearing their shorts, because it looks as if they are trying to solicit. Now, I've never heard this before, and we're going to get into more of this conversation tonight. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I do believe that he mentioned that one member of his, this organization, Citizens Auxiliary Police, actually did get involved intimately with one of these girls. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Bobby to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us. High school car washes, the ones that you see on the street corner, the kids waving the signs, come on in, get your car washed, we'll wash your car, you pay them $5, and you... And of course, you know, and they raise the money for school programs, and of course, it's competitive with the regular car washes, Jay.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The fact that the regular car wash costs you anywhere from $13, $30, $40 in some cases, but... well, what concerns us more than anything is the propensity for these high school car washes where the teachers and the administrators allow the girls to be the ones who are the people who go out on the corner and try to get the business in. That is a technical violation of the law insofar as it's females being used to lure customers, and that's... You know, you're kind of right on the line of sexuality. And that's why...
But is it soliciting sex? Is that what they're doing?
They in their own minds, maybe they think they are, maybe they... I'm sure the girls know what they're doing. Major Newton told me when he was, regrettably, when he got involved with that one high school senior, he said, he said to me, he looked at me and said, Jay, boy, she knew what she was doing, yeah. So maybe they do, maybe they don't, but be that as it may, the high school administrators, the parents know that when they send their daughters out in the street corner, they know what they're using them for. The promise of sex and a car wash. Now,
oh, come on, man. Nobody thinks...
Yeah, but that is the subconscious message. Come on in. You'll get a car wash, and you're going to get touched, or someone will touch you. And that's what we're trying to make clear to these young people, and that's where we're trying to clear the area.
Closing down high school car washes en masse is going to be tough. You're also going to be shutting down an American tradition. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chris on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I think this guy's a little ridiculous. I think he might have, good intentions, but he's definitely not following through with them very well. I've been to several car washes in the past. Car not even need clean, but be willing to help out the local high school charity or whatever's going on.
And there's nothing wrong with that, sir. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just saying those girls are out there. And so you don't, in other words, what you're telling me is when you've gone in to get your car washed, you haven't thought maybe, you know, they'll do, you know, maybe I can meet one of these girls or something like that.
Of course not, and I think you need to be looking into the people who feel that way. You should be looking at them. You shouldn't be looking at the high schools or the charities or the people trying to raise the money. I don't think it's them. I think there's a sick mind when it comes to someone that's like that.
Well, I can tell you this. You go to these high school car washes, we've observed it a lot like that old movie. I don't know if you remember that old movie, Cool Hand Luke, where the girls are rubbing themselves all over the window and that kind of nonsense. And this kind of thing.
Are you saying these girls are acting sexual in the car washes?
I'm saying a lot of these men go in there hoping that that's what they're going to see.
Well, how?
See, so that's kind of a deal you got to, it's kind of a toss-up. And I'm saying to you, Chris, when you drive down the street, you see these young girls saying, come on and get your car washed. They're jumping around or doing, they're moving their, you know, they're moving their hips and pumping them in and out and all this.
Usually when you say that, it's a cheerleading squad, and they're doing cheerleading,
yeah,
which is what they do.
Well, they call it cheerleading, but you're watching a very prurient activity with the pumping motion of the hips and this kind of nonsense.
It sounds like that's what you see, not what I see. I don't see that.
You
should look at yourself a little bit.
Let me ask you this. Am I right or am I wrong when I say it's mostly girls that are out there soliciting the business? I'm right.
I see a bunch of teenagers that aren't adults enough for someone to be looking at them in that manner.
Well,
so if you're looking at them that way, then maybe you're the one that has problems.
Well, that's a typical response, I think, of any citizen who is frightened. And I don't
that sounds like a typical response that you're saying right now for anybody that would be a pervert.
Look, they got suds all over their arms. They're squishing the sponges together and this nonsense.
They're squishing the sponges. All right, listen, Chris, I got to move on. Thank you for your call, 1-800-449-8686. What about that in the eye of the beholder argument?
Well, I think, again, that's a citizen. That gentleman was a citizen who's frightened. He's frightened of his own. He's frightened of what I'm saying. I think he's frightened of himself, but he's frightened. It's frightening to believe that an American institution is about to be, unfortunately, we're going to have to interdict, and that means it's frightening. But we've seen it. We've seen it all too many times, squishing the sponges and pumping their hips up and down. Come on, get your car washed. And I mentioned Major Newton's activity, of course, regrettably, but he did, you know, one minute he wants to get his car washed, next minute he's got this girl, you know, taking a $20 bill from him, and they're in a motel or nowhere near a car wash.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, putting girls on street corners to high school girls to get business for a high school car wash, is that technically a promise of sex? Here is Rika. Rika, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
It's Risha.
Risha, I'm sorry.
Secondly, the word is purient, not purient. Thirdly, instead of this gentleman worrying about
some kind of a bookworm, yeah,
I just read and I learn to pronounce
words. Well, if you're an egghead, that's
the
good.
Question,
I'm trying to force along.
The question I have is, why aren't you concerned about that man in your group who got sexually involved with a teenage girl?
That was regrettable.
I mean, that sounds like statutory rape to me. If she's between 14 and 16, I'd be looking at him and not at her.
It's not technically statutory rape when she's out there showing it and everything.
If she's under the age of 16, sweetheart, whether she gives consent or not, it's statutory rape.
Well, I think you're wrong.
No, I think I'm right. I've been to law school.
Have you been to law school or have you been to jail?
No, I haven't been to jail. I also have had as much time on my hands as you apparently have to have right now.
I'm a police
and
officer,
I think,
and I ask those
I think
questions.
you should really look into the issues of the gentlemen who are traveling with you, who are getting involved with these young girls.
I'm trying to protect young women, ma'am. You're more concerned with protecting the men. I think that's the wrong
really
place to be looking.
You've got a little bit too much time on your hands, honey, but I wish you well.
I think you need to look into expunging your record of those felonies.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. High school car washes, are they soliciting when the girls are on the corner? The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Henry Show is back.
this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is presented by the Citizens Auxiliary Police, trying to save lives. Jay Santos is with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and they're talking about high school car washes and the fact that the young girls that are out on the street corners may be soliciting.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Jay, you're talking about Major Elvis Newton, who is the founder of your organization, being sexually involved with a kid who was trying to get car wash business?
Let me back up, because there's been a wrong impression given. Major Newton, as part of Operation Sweep, was on the point on a Saturday afternoon. And when we say on the point, that means he is the first man out. And if you don't have any military experience, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But he's the first man out. He was on the point, and he encountered a car wash. The girl was dancing, and as he later told me, and he told me quite frankly, through tears, he was very upset that he got involved with her. But he did say to me at that time, Jay, this proves what I've feared for a long time. These girls are out there, car wash, sex, what's the difference?
And but there's all kinds of different car washes, all kinds of different kids. Who knows who he was talking to? Do you understand?
Well, this is all too common, the perception, but the reality is, as I've said, you got the girls standing out there, jumping up and down, everything's bouncing up and down, everything all loose and everything in their clothes, and a man is out there and he wants to get his car washed, and now here comes this gal and everything's bouncing up and down, and I think it's understood by all concerned that when he pulls his car into that gas station parking lot and he's going to give his $5 over to this high school kid to help out the high school band or help out the football team or help out the glee club or what have you, he's going to take a look at something a little bit more than...
He thinks he's going to get sex?
I think that that's the message, and I think that that, whether consciously or unconsciously given, I think that's the message. And as such, it's technically a violation of law, and as such, then we got to shut it down. We have to clear the area.
And that's what you're going to be doing in September. 1-800-449-8686. We'll go to Diane. Hello, Diane. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
This gentleman is really infuriating me. My question to you, sir, is that, all right, you keep blasting the girls that are on the corner. What, may I ask, would you do if you have young men on the corner in their tank tops and and shorts because it's 80 degrees out, they're holding up their signs and they're flexing or whatever they're doing out there, and the housewives are getting excited. The young single women in their 20s are getting excited. Or they're driving in there. Are you sure that, I mean...
Well, if that gets you hot, that's something between you and your creator. I'm talking about...
Why is that something between me and my creator?
You're telling me that you're getting hot for...
And this teenage girl.
I am simply saying that most car washes...
I heard what you... Will you please let me speak?
I thought I was...
the same thing over and over again, that these girls are soliciting sex. But you know what? There is a standard of ethics here.
A lot of these gals support each other with a hose.
Sir,
let me speak. You think it's cute.
Sir, the people who do not let somebody express an opinion are people who are afraid that someone else is going to make a point and discredit them. And that's what you are doing.
You
are talking over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
That's right.
In case I'm right.
Jay, let the lady speak, okay?
I'm just saying it. Whatever floats your boat is fine.
Sir, let me speak. There is a standard of ethics that's involved here, too. It's the same with anybody who is older, who is in a position of authority, who is older, period. I don't care if that young girl or that young man strips and dances naked in front of somebody older, if it's a teacher, if it's a college professor, if it is a boss, it does not make a difference. These people have a standard of ethic to turn the other way and walk away.
Ma'am,
just because
I think
our president
have you ever seen counseling?
That does not mean that everybody else can.
Now, I would say you are saying, therefore, that prostitutes should not be arrested and then taken
jail. And your friend, if he's
put in
prison, he deserves that.
I would like to get your number.
He walked in there expecting, and he solicited this girl.
If you get yourself all hot by a young man in a tank top, I think you've got a problem. You've got a dangerous problem.
Sir,
all right, hold on. Everybody, hold on.
In the wrong here.
Hold on for a minute. I want
to
ask Jay, I want to ask you a question. What Diane is basically saying is that it is the man, and we've certainly heard this argument, given the crime of prostitution, it's really the men who ought to be locked up more than the women.
Well, that's a fallacy. Anybody who's been on the front lines of law enforcement knows the women know exactly what to do. All these women
sir,
are spreading AIDS. A lot of these women are spreading AIDS.
You're an auxiliary.
They're spreading AIDS.
Very full of yourself.
Ma'am, a lot of these gals are out on the street corner, and they'll give you five different breeds of crab. They give you all kind of drip and everything.
Now, so, but you're talking about high school girls. You're not talking about prostitutes.
Let me ask you something.
You
want
to go out and get the drip?
What
you go
did your friend say to this girl? Tell me, please, what this gentleman said to the girl besides, oh, can I have a car wash?
No, ma'am.
What did he say to her? I will tell you,
if you'll allow me to tell you. When we interdict at these car washes, well, you've been blathering on. When we interdict at these car washes, we do read Bible quotations. And tell the girls to clear the area. At that time, he did then get hot.
That is not what I asked you. I asked you what your friend, the one who was arrested and hopefully thrown in prison, said to this girl.
What he said to her was, I'd like you to clear the area. I've got a Bible quotation. She then started waving a cowhide chamois in the air. And you don't know where that's been. You don't know. You have no idea where that's been.
On a car.
What is that supposed to mean? You don't know where that's been.
He is on a car. Are you? You are really way off.
No, he was in his car. He was talking to her. She starts waving the cowhide chamois.
Yeah, she's trying to get the car wash business.
Well, look,
sir.
Where do the prostitutes hang out, and where do they try to get car wash business? Both answers: street corner.
You, where the ethics of your friend, quote unquote, who is supposed to be the front line of your police auxiliary? I mean, this is so out of line with this gentleman.
You began this phone call by saying you get all hot and bothered looking at some boy.
No, actually, I didn't say that.
You can see everything.
I said, why did you throw me that I get hot and bothered? I said, what if the housewives? What if the 20-year-olds?
Right.
What if some other 18-year-old teenager happens to get hot and bothered?
Well, I can tell you right now, that's why we're trying to get them off the street corner. We're trying to get them off the street corner, take their cowhide chamois, take all of their sponges, they're squirting and squeezing everything, and get it out of there. Now, let's get out of there. These car wash solicitations is basically hooker training school, and these teachers and parents know it. And what we're trying to say is, through standard...
Hooker training school, man? Are you nuts? This is raising money for bands.
Mr. Henry, of course it is, but the fact of the matter remains... Major Newton, who is a grandfather and a Korean War veteran, and he got hot. And
so
this
what?
Gal
did
here
he
just got done
Korea?
Saying,
did he
she sees some boy in some bicycle shorts, she's getting all hot because everything's hanging down. That's not my problem.
She didn't
it's
say
not
that.
Your problem, but it is your problem if the
right.
girl is out there swinging herself around.
She's swinging that cowhide chamois around. You don't know where it's been.
All right. I
got to
go, Diane.
Are you going to shut down the lemonade stands?
Okay, Diane, good question. I got to move on. What about lemonade stands?
You know, you got to be some kind of a sick, twisted piece of garbage to think a little 8-year-old girl who is selling a little lemonade is some kind of pervert. And that's what I'm talking about, that lady.
Well, I mean, come on.
A little 8-year-old. I got an 8-year-old daughter. You trying to tell me about a little 8-year-old daughter, you know, is swinging it all around, bouncing up and down?
No, sir, I'm not. I got a 12-year-old daughter who has a lemonade stand. I'm just saying, you know.
I heard one of these girls say, I got your armor all, and that's the same way of saying, you know, I can reverse cowgirl. So these are the things that...
I don't know what reverse cowgirl means.
Roger.
Here is Diane on the Phil Henry Show. Diane, go ahead.
Yes, I've been listening and all. And, I mean, really, number one, the police thinks if you're out there, you know, holding a sign and all, you're prostituting. Well, let me tell you. Cops flirt anyway with women. If they're on the job or whatever, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with them.
You know, hold on
girls.
For a minute, Phil. I got to, we are out, observe. There's one car wash. The school starts here. So we're just trying to get them to clear the area.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Diane, with your comment.
Yes, you know, like I was saying, you know, like cops, you know, they even flirt off of a job and on the job, everything, you know. I mean, and I think it's kind of crazy to sit there and say because girls are out there trying to wash cars for money for just
right,
their school or they're just taking up money or whatever for their organization. What is the problem? You know, they're making something out of nothing.
Well, I think a lot
You know, like it's a shame to go get your car washed.
If you don't mind, Phil, we have to move over to another section. We've got two kids who are, they've got Armor All, which is a supposed to be a vinyl cleaner.
Uh-huh.
And they're doing some predictable things with it, so I don't know if this lady, do you need me anymore, ma'am?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead with your comments.
Okay, well, number one, you know, that kind of stuff, if they're, you know, for drugs or anything like that,
right.
Or harming the body, if they're...
Well, I can just tell you, a lot of these
whatever,
girls,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's something else better that you can do.
Well,
you know,
are these sponges clean,
I mean,
or, you know...
They will even mess up your lungs. Huh?
He's out at a site right now. Are you at a car wash?
I'm at
no,
a car wash
not.
Right now. No, he's not asking you, Diane. He's asking me.
Oh.
You think we were the same person or something? Jesus, in these people. All right, we cleared it up.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Diane, for your call. 1-800, what do you mean, get off of her?
It's just the things, Phil, that as a... And again, I'm a parent. As much as I am member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. And if you think I'm going to sit still and watch some kid standing out there going, $5, can we wash your car? And I'm not going to do anything about it? And if you're trying to tell me that that's innocent, then, brother, I got a Brooklyn Bridge I want to sell you. Hold on for a minute. Get her. Jimmy? Yeah, look at her.
So you are where, Jay?
We're up on Thousand Oaks Boulevard right now.
All right, let me talk to another caller here. Andrea, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I'm positively amazed at the conclusion
what
the gentleman has reached based on a very small, ridiculous, random sample here. But, you know, you're setting up a predatory relationship. You're making all girls assume that men are going to be rude and lascivious every time they come encounter with them. The truth is that these girls are children, and the man that you're talking about is an adult, and he has an obligation to know better.
Well, Major Newton, you have to understand, Major Newton's a grandfather, Korean War veteran.
Well, he should be ashamed of himself that he doesn't know better how to react to a young girl. And let me tell you what, if you want to know when I was a young girl, and let me tell you what, men will find any and every...
What's she doing with him, Squeegee? Hold on.
Men will find any excuse to find you attractive in any situation that you're in.
Roger.
A young girl at any time has to be aware of that.
All right, what are you supposed to say, Andrea? You see the girls, you know, a lot of these gals putting the hose down their pants, using their rear ends to dry the hood. What's that all about?
Excuse me, you're talking about a person who must have a problem going to a basketball game and watching the halftime show.
Now, are you telling me that it's perfectly okay for a high school student?
Car wash, sir. They don't put the hoses down their pants.
There's a possibility they might.
A car wash for a high school charity. There are parents there often.
All right, now I want to ask Jay a question. This lady's made a point. Girls are not doing that, and there are parents there.
Phil, what if the girl starts putting the hose down her pants? What if she starts drying the hood off with her rear end and this kind of prurient behavior? Then what are you going to say to me? See, that's what we're trying to do. We're interdicting. We are trying a prophylactic or preventative measure.
Are you going to break up every high school basketball halftime show? Have you seen them dance lately at a high school basketball halftime
show? Ma'am, I can tell you right now, if I see any young lady putting a garden hose into her slacks...
That's a lot more lascivious than washing a car, sir.
Where have you observed this, ma'am? Where have you observed this? Because if you have observed this and you've failed to report this to the police, we've got a serious question.
You can report it to the police? You can go to any... Have you watched a high school
prom? Plus, cheerleading's a sport.
Dancing at halftime.
Cheerleading is a sport. Car wash is not a sport. And I see in no book and in no NCAA regulation where you're allowed to dry off a guy's hood with your
bare hands. Okay, first of all, we're talking about high school, not NCAA.
I saw a couple of these gals in their Daisy. Well, I saw two of these gals in their Daisy Duke shorts getting their hair all wet and flipping it aroundsy like you do at one of these strip places out in the desert.
Have you seen the latest Britney Spears video, sir? Let me tell you what. If a man can't handle himself around a young lady, period, then he shouldn't be around young ladies.
Well, ma'am,
it's not a girl's obligation to assume that every single man who comes across her is going to want to have rude sex with her.
All right, Andrea, can I just say
one
thing?
That's not our obligation.
I understand. I want to say one thing. When Major Elvis Newton came out of that motel room and he'd given that high school senior a $20 bill, he had tears in his eyes.
You know what? You're talking about one high school girl and you're talking about a man who ought to seek counseling. That's what you're talking about.
Counseling? He said that was the best 3 hours he ever spent.
Help. You're talking about a man who needs needs help, sir.
Yeah, he needs
help. He knew right from wrong, and he chose wrong.
He needs
that
help.
That is not that girl's fault.
He needs help getting ones from a $100 bill. That's the help he needs. Come on.
What kind of a smart-ass answer is that?
Anything wrong? You're using the Nuremberg?
Or the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You don't get to say that. He knew right from wrong.
Yeah, he knew right from wrong, and he said that was the best.
He had an obligation to do the right thing, and he did the wrong thing.
No, he knew right from wrong. He said the right thing was spending the 3 hours in that motel. The wrong thing was taking his wife's car to get it washed.
Hello?
I locked out.
Oh, well, good for you. You locked out. Get the hose out of your pants. Jay Sano, Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't think we'll be seeing the high school car washes messed with. I think they're alive, they're well, and they're washing cars, man. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Later on tonight, Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. Sew me up so tight, I'm talking through a hole in my face with Sheila Skelly and Joe Briscoe. Our plastic surgery segment, which is always a barrel of laughs. And some freaky bit that David Hall wants me to do, Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst. All coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge, always teetering, never quite falling off. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight on our show, we will have Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. Tomorrow night, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And on Friday night, it's Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steve Bozell joins us. And Steve, we are honoring you on our website in our souvenir shop. What do you think of that?
That is my understanding, yes, sir. I'm very gratified, yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about the product that we're selling at on our website?
The product is Steve Bozell for President shirt. It says Steve Bozell, President 2004. Vote for me or I'll sue you. And the reason why it says that is because technically it is a violation of my civil rights. Were I to run for president and you didn't vote for me, I could technically sue you for aggravation of my colon, for not being fair emotionally to me, for emotional sodomy, and for emotional bend over grease up. And so I'm suggesting that people buy my t-shirt. It's on the Phil Henry Show website. It says Steve Bozell for President 2004. Vote for me or I'll sue you, because I think it's only right.
Well, don't get emotional, man. I mean,
are you selling the shirts?
Yeah, we're selling a lot of them, dude, and there's plenty of them left. Steve Bozell for President 2004. Vote for me or I'll sue you, okay?
All right, well, I do have to get with my attorney on that because I don't know if what you just said hurt me in any way.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I didn't say anything.
Well, it felt bad.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
We will have Margaret Gray with us this hour. We didn't hear for the flashback last hour. We'll have a flashback from Margaret Gray from our show last night. But she's also back with us to sing a song and try to raise money for Amber Fry's defense or her legal costs or some gratuitous thing like that. Some stunt that Margaret is simply trying to aggrandize over. She simply is trying to draw attention to herself. She doesn't care about Amber Fry. She doesn't care about French fries. She only cares about herself, and so she'll be singing to raise money for Amber Fry. Also, coming up on our show tonight, we have Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts, Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst. What is that?
I don't know. You just said to do it.
Get him on the phone, will you?
All right.
I don't know who this guy is. Blake Dunst is going to come on. Guess Your Weight We'll have a Phil's mailbag, just general purpose information, and we'll also read a selection of letters again from people who sent these emails off to the people at Comedy Central protesting the use of our show's premise on one of their television programs. It's typical television to blatantly steal an idea or an entire premise, but it is not typical of us in radio to point it out, and it's certainly not typical of us to, well, I don't know, maybe fight for ourselves to any great degree. I mean, like I've often said, this show isn't the greatest thing that ever came down the pike, but it's a radio original, and we're very proud of it. And we don't like it when people in TV, and they've done it often, listen to the show and then implement ideas or even just take the entire premise of our show and try and transfer it to television, not even give us credit for it. In fact, I just found out today. Actually, I found out a few months ago, but I was reminded today that a writer from Saturday Night Live had called our show not too long ago asking, and he had a list of bits that we'd done on the show, and he wanted to get tapes of all of them. And I thought, he must really think we're dopey. And, of course, we did get it together and send it off to him, but that's not the point. The point is, no, we didn't let him go anywhere near our stuff. And I thought, you're kidding, right? And those cats make big dough. I ain't kidding you, man. They're making six figures easy, some of them up in the high six figures, and they're calling up a radio host to get his bits. Same thing with these guys at Comedy Central. They got one show at Comedy Central, South Park. That's it. Yeah, I know all about Dave Chappelle and The Daily Show. Dave Chappelle's funny. The Daily Show ain't. They got South, as far as I'm concerned, they got South Park, and that's it. And then they got my show. That they're calling something else. Anyway, we'll read some of the emails that you guys have sent along. Also tonight, Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, our plastic surgery feature. And with us tonight will be Sheila Skelly and Dr. Joe Briscoe talking about Michael Jackson's face and when we can expect the big cave-in, as they put it. 1-800-449-8686. Now, if you go to our website tonight, you can take a look at a letter that was written by Mr. Bill Timmons, who's the president of the Aladdin, and we linked it because it's pretty funny. It's a response to Michael Moore. Remember when Linda Ronstadt got booted off the stage in Vegas at the Aladdin because she sang a song and she dedicated it to Michael Moore, right? And then Moore wrote Timmons and said, how dare you take her off the stage? Haven't you ever heard of the First Amendment? What country do you live in? All she was doing was trying to dedicate a song to me, and what kind of a Nazi are you, right? So Timmons wrote a letter back to him, which I believe Moore posted on his website, and we've also posted it on our website. One of the things you do in show business, when somebody's really sticking it to you and sort of out-hipping you a little bit, what you do is you pretend like you really think they're funny, too. It's kind of like Alec Baldwin trying to be in the new South Park movie, or be in the new Team America movie. It's like him saying, okay, I know they're going to lampoon me, so what I'll do is I'll ask for part of their movie, and then I'll look really hip because I can make fun of myself. He didn't anticipate them telling him to get lost, though. Now, here is the response from Mr. Timmons to Mr. Moore. July 21st, responding to the letter of July 20th. Attention, Michael Moore. In response to your letter dated July 20th, you are correct that I had security remove Linda Ronstadt from Aladdin Casino and Hotel, where the fun never ends and everybody wins. How very interesting to learn you are such a fan of Ms. Ronstadt. You questioned where I live, and surprisingly knew Las Vegas is in the United States. You should visit it sometime. There are thousands of wonderful all-you-can-eat buffets. There are also a lot of casino owners who you don't F with. He spells the word out, and for reasons of job security, I'm not going to use the word. But let me just tell you, it starts with an F, and it...
Okay, now we know.
All right. I'm aware of the First Amendment, and you have the right to talk about your hatred of America, but once you are on my property, you are upsetting my guests, and therefore you will quickly learn about my rights. I can't remember if it was Jesus or George W. Bush that said, freedom is a two-way street. Ms. Ronstadt learned this long before I had her thrown off of my casino. You question my actions? If you come onto my property and upset my guests, you will receive the same, if not worse, treatment than Ms. Ronstadt received. I'm sure your mere presence would upset my guests. You claim your film, quote, is all about asking the questions that should have been asked before those brave soldiers were sent into harm's way. I think your film does nothing but aid the enemy and hurt our troops. You've betrayed our troops, our leader, and America. I have no respect for you or your vision of what America should be. I paid Ms. Ronstadt to entertain my guests, not divide them. The half that did not leave probably thought the verse you mentioned, "Why Don't You Come to Your Senses," from the song Desperado by the Eagles, was addressed to you. Maybe she should have dedicated her song You're No Good to you. I would have asked her back had she done that. Regarding your request for me to apologize to her and have you and her on my stage singing anything about this country and then playing your piece of crap film, well, that's ludicrous. Actually, he doesn't say crap. He uses the word. It starts with an S.
We get it.
One of my workers is currently throwing away every complaint letter from brainless followers of yours, claiming they will never visit my casino. I could not be more pleased to know my casino and hotel will always be void of the people that support you. Meanwhile, my hotel has been quickly booked solid for the rest of the year with true Americans who love their country and support our efforts overseas. They will see a framed copy of your letter and my response in the lobby to ensure they begin their experience with a laugh. Sincerely, Bill Timmons, CEO, President of the Aladdin. Now, I thought that was pretty cool, so we posted it on our website, and you can look at it at your leisure. And more, if you saw his original letter questions, as I mentioned, he questioned the man's intelligence and doesn't he know about the First Amendment. Things must be getting pretty desperate over there because, for starters, Max Cleland went to the ranch today to try to deliver a letter protesting Bush not putting down those anti-carry ads. Isn't that thing over with? You know the Swift boat ads, which I don't have any interest in those ads. And I said it early on. I said, you know, Bush ought to distance himself. I thought he did. Didn't he say, am I wrong? Didn't he say those are no good and I honor Senator Kerry's? So he did do that. But these guys are still pressing the issue, which makes me think things must be kind of desperate in that campaign. I thought they were like almost like dead even or something. Am I not reading, not that I read all that much, but am I not reading the newspaper reports properly? I thought things were going swimmingly. For those guys to keep harping on that Swift boat thing, is it hurting them? It must be hurting them. It must be hurting them bad. And Bush did come out and say, and I agree with him, Senator Kerry served this country honorably, and I don't think the ads are right, and we should move on to the topics at hand. And I thought I heard him say that, and yet Cleland is there, all three quarters of him, and he, all right, I'm sorry. Anyway, Cleland was there. Yes.
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to...
What do you mean all three quarters of him?
It was very tasteless.
You better believe it was tasteless. The man lost both arms and a leg in Vietnam.
I understand that, David. I apologize.
Well, apologize to your listeners.
I apologize to you folks for that three quarters of him comment about Max Cleland. I really do.
All right. By the way, what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs laying in front of a...
All right. See, I'm the guy. I can't say it. You give me that Matt.
That's right. What about the same guy water skiing?
Skip.
What if it's a chick and she's leaning against the wall?
Eileen, get out of here. So anyway, I thought it was done, but apparently things must be getting pretty desperate because they're still pounding away on that. Hey, guys, forget about Kerry and Vietnam. Forget. I'm going to run for president, and this is going to be my... I didn't go to Vietnam. All right, so I got nothing to cover up. I didn't go to Vietnam. In fact, I protested the war in Vietnam, and I didn't think it was any good. So there. Now, all of that's out in the open. Problem is, if you live then, you're either for it or you're against it. Something's going to happen to you that ain't good. All right, so Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts, if you can call them those. And guess your weight with Blake Dunst. Tomorrow night is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Friday night, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, the great steakhouse. We'll be right back. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Skip.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We got We got Margaret Gray on the line from the Aladdin in Las Vegas. Margaret, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing well, Phil. We're having a wonderful time. Frank and I are here, and we just got in for about 2 or 3 days of just relaxation off the Kerry campaign, and we'll be rejoining Senator Kerry in California in 3 days. But I did want to take this opportunity to come on your program and fulfill a request of a very dear friend of mine, Gloria Allred. Gloria is a very sweet girl. She is a wonderful attorney.
She's also representing Amber Fry, isn't she?
She is, and Gloria loves the way I sing, and of course I did sing professionally. So I want to do a song and dedicate it to both Gloria and to Amber.
Did Gloria ask you to sing?
Well, when you say that she asked me to sing, no, not specifically. What's that supposed to mean?
It doesn't mean anything. I mean,
do you not want me to sing? Is that it?
Well, no. I mean, no. I just wanted to know. Did Gloria ask you to sing, or
she wanted me to? She didn't want me to sing. No.
But you know her.
Yes, I do know her, and we talked the other day. Yes.
Did she ask you to sing?
What does this have to do?
Well, what did she ask you to do? You said you're fulfilling a request.
All right, I lied. There. Does that make you feel better? Does it make...
Look at Margaret.
No, does it make you feel better humiliating me in front of everyone in your audience? No, she didn't ask me to sing. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I care about her, I care about Amber, and you know what, Phil? I care about all of the women in the world who... they give their hearts to a man, only to find it broken the next morning. What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never, never fall in love again. You go, girlfriend. Say that, Frank. I'll never fuck...
What are you doing, playing dice?
What?
What do you mean, fade that?
Frank's rolling the dice from it.
Well, then sing the song. Don't give him advice on throwing the dice.
Jesus. Fine. Great. Just put it all in the pass line. Now...
Will you just sing the song?
Good. Okay. Anyway, Amber, this is for you, darling. I know how it feels. You fall in love with a guy one day, and the next day you're finding... Well, you're finding heads in the icebox. It's the way it is when you fall in love with a guy. I'm sorry. I have to start again.
You know, every time you come on...
No, Phil, I've got to start again.
No, but every time you come on, there's something like this. There's some guy... I'm sorry, I got to start again. Frank, fade that. Some guy looking up your dress, whatever it is.
My God, you are rude, aren't you?
No, I'm just trying to get the bit done so we can move on.
Oh, well, let me let you move on. Don't let me get in the way of your program.
Margaret, I didn't mean to say it. Just sing the song, please.
Is Mark there?
No, he's not here. Who do you think's playing the music?
Okay, Mark, go ahead. A two, and a two, and a 1-2 heel kick.
Jesus.
This is for you, Amber, darling. I know how it is when you love a guy, and he's a douche. What do you get?
Okay. Cut that. I don't know what it is that I've done to deserve this kind of treatment. I had to cut her off, man. This is what happens when you love a guy and he's a douche. All right, look. Get her back on the line. Is she back? Margaret, I'm not trying to cut you off.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
All right, let's just do it, please.
Amber, this is for you and all that other stuff. Well, what is he coming out? I want to know.
What do you mean, what is he coming out? Fade that, put it on the pass line, and what's he coming out?
All right, I'll get away from the craps table. That'll make you happier, okay? This is for you, Amber.
God, if I hear the beginning of the song again, I'm going to scream.
I'm sorry. Just trying to entertain the people, that's all. For Amber Fry, for all us Amber Fries. What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never fall in love again. No, I never never fall in love again. That's my coquettish thing, Phil.
Great.
What do you get when you kiss a guy? You get enough germs to catch pneumonia. After you do, he'll never phone you. Love that. No, I'll never fall in love again. Is that me?
Oh, that's me.
I'll never fall in love again.
Don't tell me what.
Every time she hits the chorus, man, she goes butch on me. That's the thing that really drives me nuts. Every time she hits the chorus of any song, she suddenly turns into Big John. Don't tell me what it's all about. Margaret Gray from Vegas singing I'll Never Fall in Love Again. Maybe she'll get through a whole bloody song one of these days. What do you think? Oh, my word. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Our website is at www.philhenryshow.com, and when you visit www.philhenryshow.com, brother, you are right at the gateway to the world of Phil Henry and our show and all of the things that we do here. And what I'd like you to do is pick up a backstage pass. The reason why is with that backstage pass, you have access to all of our comedy archives, and we have the deepest archive of radio comedy than any other show, I think, in the history of the world. We've got bits going back 10, 11 years, in fact, and we're always loading new material in, and we not only have short-form bits, we've got full shows. We have our 30-day archive, so if you've missed any show, any hour, you can go back over the last 30 days, and you can access any hour you want, and boom, it's yours. As a matter of fact, we don't really have a problem with anybody downloading, do we? I mean, honest to God, you just pay the $6.95, Jack. You do whatever you're going to want to do with it, because you're going to do it anyway, right? All right, and this is audio that is high quality. It is the top of the line, top of the mark quality audio, so it's not that scratchy live from Mongolia, audio quality that you get when you're pulling our stuff off of some bootleg site. So just go to www.philhenryshow.com, pick up a backstage pass. You can put it on your credit card. It's only $6.95 a month. We automatically charge your card every month. You don't have to be reminded. When your renewal comes up, we'll say, hey, may we charge your card again, because we're not a complete bunch of scumbags. The last time I checked, anyway, so visit us there. And while you're in our website, you can go to our souvenir shop and look at all the great stuff we have there. As you know, we're featuring, between now and the election, the brand new Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. This is a beautiful thing. Comes in all the great sizes. All the great sizes. Well, it comes in three great sizes. Then it comes in my size. Comes in small, medium, large, and then it comes in like extra large, extra, extra large. I think that's as fat as it gets for some of you fatsos up there in Alaska. So, you know, that's where most of the complaints come from. All right, so it's Steve Bozell, President 2004. Vote for me or I'll sue you. It's a great t-shirt. It's a great conversation starter. And highly timely, I would say. It's there at our website, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
How do Falcons do in their preseason? I haven't followed the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, as you may or may not know, are my new favorite team. But the Dolphins are my favorite NFL team, but the Falcons are now my number two. They've replaced the Pack. Since Coach Jags ain't with the Pack no more, he's down there with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm with the Falcons now, and I'm getting a real funny look here from Mr. Newman.
Dolphins?
Yeah, dude, yeah, the Dolphins, Mr. Jet. Yes, the Dolphins. Well, I like the Jets, too. What are you going to say to a guy who grew up in L.A. with the Rams in the 60s, okay? That was like growing up with a permanent case of impetigo. So anyway, Jagosinski's down there with the Falcons, so I'm very much into how they're going to be doing. I think they're going to be great. You guys got yourselves one hell of a tight ends coach, and I'll keep talking up Jags until he gets me out on Augusta like he said he could. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. As you know, we mentioned a TV show on Comedy Central. It's a show that may be dead by the time, you know, by the time we really get going on this anti-campaign, this anti-crossballs campaign. This show was used to be one day a week, and now it's like once a week. And anyway, the show is a complete and utter lift of the premise of my radio show. It is absolutely, without question, a program that started because the writers and creators of that show were listening to this show, without question. Now, when have you ever heard me say that about any other show? I am telling you right now, the guys that write that show and created that show were listening to my show. They went to the eggheads at Comedy Central and said, hey, we got a great idea for a TV show. Have you ever heard Phil Henry? We can put it on TV. Now, that's what they did, and they can deny it all they want. That's exactly what they did. So I asked people to email the people at Comedy Central. And by the way, Comedy Central, you've come way, way, way down in my view, man, in terms of your ability to actually deliver product and actually deliver laughs. You guys have just fallen on your face. To think that there was a period in my life when I thought about, gee, I wouldn't mind having a show on that network. Why would I want to have anything to do with you people now? I mean, I don't want to sound angry or anything, but not that I have don't have the right to be. Like I said, you got South Park. What else you got?
Well, you ought to see our ratings, Phil.
Okay, great. Good for you. You ticked up a 0.5. Good. Hey, man, you got a whole one millionth of the TV audience. That's, hey, in the world of cable, that's kicking ass. I get it. Anyway, I had people, or asked people, I should say, to write to Comedy Central with their opinion of the very obvious fact that our program has been appropriated by them. And again, I may be making a bigger deal out of this than I should, because the show, from what I hear, is horrible and is probably going to be off the air pretty soon. But here is a selection of some of the mail that's been sent to them on our behalf. Dear Comedy Central, regarding Crossballs, I cannot believe that Comedy Central is trying to pull off a show like Crossballs and call it original. This show is a complete rip of the Phil Henry Show, a radio talk show with a huge fan base. It seemed that there was a time when originality stood for something, especially in the comedy industry, where the most memorable acts are always the most original. Thankfully, the originality of Phil's show is so pure that simply catching 30 seconds of Crossballs is enough to show that this TV show is plagiarism at its worst. I'm especially upset to see that Comedy Central, a network in which you'd think that providing original comedy is essential, has to now steal from others in order to draw in more viewers. With disgust, Matt in Vancouver, British Columbia. Dear Comedy Central executives, count me out from ever watching your network again. Having listened to him for many years, I strongly feel that the concept of Crossballs is an obvious ripoff of Phil's show. I hope justice is served and Crossballs fails quickly and miserably, but even if it doesn't, true fans will always know better. Dave in Dover, New Hampshire. To whom it may concern, just dropping a note to express my disappointment with the premise of Crossballs, a mutilated but blatant copy of Phil's signature comedy style. We listeners in Radioland realize you're all having a chilling time trying to explain to television executives why so much creativity and originality is coming out of alternative media these days. But take time to do the right thing and credit Phil for his huge body of work in this format of comedy. Alex in Colorado Springs. Here's one from Bob. South Park and Chappelle's Show, brilliant programming. Stealing from Henry to create Crossballs, pathetic. Hey, Phil, listen to this. Hey, Phil, I know for a fact that the producers of Crossballs had tapes of your show in the office. And then finally, Phil, I sent an email to protest to Comedy Central, as have thousands of your fans. Nothing to worry about, though. No one can do what you do and keep it original and hilarious. I listen every night. Right now, I'm crying as Jay is sniffing a tricycle seat at the garage sale. Oh, yeah, that was a... That's when Jay thought that garage sales were the breeding ground of perverts. This is a sampling of the mail about Crossballs. Coming up, David G. Hall has something to talk to me about. Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts. Sew me up so tight I'm talking through a hole in my face. Our plastic surgery special. And maybe Margaret will come back and try and sing that whole bloody song. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley will be with us tomorrow night from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of the great steakhouses of America, will join us, Ted Bell, on Friday night on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sheila Skelly, and I'm here with Dr. Jack Briscoe, and welcome to The Phil Hendry Show plastic surgery segment called...
Sew me up so tight, I'm talking through a hole in my face. How are you doing, Sheila?
I'm great, Dr. Briscoe. And tonight we're going to talk about a very special guy, a man who has meant a great deal to the world of plastic surgery. I know you know him personally, Michael Jackson.
Well, I do know him personally, and I think Michael is a wonderful person, and I think he's taken some very unfair hits, and I want to speak on his behalf.
What do you think of the plastic surgery that Michael Jackson's had?
I think it's wonderful. I think the work that he has had done has been outstanding, and I think anyone that says that it is that the work that Michael has had done on his face is bad work or is destructive just simply doesn't know what they're talking about, and they also do not know the aesthetic of beauty.
What do you like most about Michael Jackson's face? What do you find to be the most aesthetically pleasing?
I think his face is sculpted perfectly. It is sculpted to a very fine edge. Michael is at a point in his plastic surgery that we call pre-cave-in. In other words, his face is so perfectly sculpted and so wonderfully precision, it is right at, it's like a souffle, a beautiful souffle. Have you ever seen a souffle or a lemon meringue? It's just beautiful. The only danger is that if Michael is exposed to any cold air, his face could have full rhinoplasty collapse, meaning a
cave-in effect.
A cave-in effect, yes.
Well, Michael Jackson joins us now, and Michael, how are you?
Hi.
Michael, it's great to see you, and I just want to tell you, I think you look great.
Thank you. I think the work that I've had done is out of sight, you know, and it's good. It's all good.
Michael, would you care for a Diet Coke?
Oh, God, don't open up the refrigerator, man! It's the cold air! Now look at his face.
Oh, my God, it's caved in.
All that cool air caved in. Michael, how you doing?
I'm okay. No, Doc, I'm going to have to get some air. Anybody got a bicycle pump?
This has been Sew Me Up So Tight, I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face, your weekly plastic surgery show.
I'm Dr. Jack Briscoe, and remember, when you have plastic surgery, don't get any cold air in the area, because that'll just, it's going to collapse the kisser. It's what we call full kisser collapse. As you know, I just had my nose done. I don't want a Diet Coke, no!
I'm so sorry, Doctor. You okay?
Do I look like I'm doing okay? Do I look like... No, seriously, do I look like I'm doing okay?
No, your nose...
Caved in, you can say it.
It's caved in.
Avoid full cave-in. Contact Dr. Jack Briscoe today. Man, that cat's nose caved in. Now, that sucks. Okay, Vernon Dozier joins us on the Phil Hendry Show, and he is upset about something. I think he was upset about...
The beach volleyball.
Oh, the beach volleyball. Yeah, he says that all that beach volleyball in the Olympics is making all of us people that can't tan feel bad.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I grew up in Chicago, Indiana, Ohio.
Right, that's I'm from there, West Lafayette.
Exactly, Purdue. And you know, we used to go up and vacation in Lake Michigan, and we'd play ball all the time on the sand, but we also went out in the fields. And we would play volleyball in the fields. You know, you don't have to have sand to play volleyball.
No, I know that. And if they were playing volleyball on a regular volleyball court, or they were playing it out in the cornfield, I'd feel good. But there they go again with their Baywatch and all of their nonsense.
No, Coach, you know, these girls, I've watched just a couple of matches, and they were very well clad. Can you imagine if they are playing in sand for their safety?
You could see the bottom very clearly of these women.
But it doesn't, you know, you can see the bottom even in their new short shorts.
Well, they're wearing...
In the track and field and stuff like that.
See, that's the other thing, too. My cousin, her name was Ginger, that summer we were in California, she had her first bikini. And man, I'll tell you...
You know, Ed, your cousin is unfortunately you know, your cousin was a bad fixation for you because, I mean, these kids, you know, I can see green bikinis and stuff like that, but, you know, but these kids were well clad, and the boys, when they were, the young men, when they played, they had regular shorts on. They weren't in Speedos. Those were for the swimmers. And some of them were well clad.
My understanding was some of those guys in the Speedos were you're saying they're what?
They're swimmers. I agree with Joan. The people that are wearing the Speedos are swimmers. The dudes that were out playing volleyball.
See, there you go again. See, you sound like so many of my students. Hey, dude. You say, you know.
Well, sir, I'm sorry. The gentleman, the man who was in his shorts, was playing volleyball.
No, but you sound like a lot of these Californians. Hey, dude.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, you
really just. It traps my...
No, no. You know, you've got to calm down. You've got to calm down because you've really gone off on a tangent that it has is really losing argument.
Can I ask you a question, Joan?
Sure.
I want to say something to you because you sound like a woman that...
And I got to move along with this call.
I just want to say I hate my mother. And you know why? Because she gave me this soft, pasty white skin. And because of that, my cousin... went upstairs with a beach bum who sold sunglasses.
No, you're just using that as an excuse. You know, if you don't like your white skin, they've got the spray-on tan now that is absolutely marvelous. And I am very light and freckled. I don't tan.
Yes, so me too.
It's what I've got. I live with it. And that's
I'm trying to tell the two of you about me, and you're telling me to spray my tan on?
Well, if you don't like your white skin.
Dude... I'm sorry, I said dude.
Yeah, you sound like a lot of my young men in the football program. Hey, dude.
Hey, listen. I got freckles, and I got red hair, and I grew up on the beaches of California, and I never got tanned, and it's not...
Look, I'm not you. Did you fall in love with your cousin? You know, the humiliation of that alone could send a man into an insane asylum.
You know, that's the problem. See, you've fallen in love with your cousin, you've never forgiven her, and you've got to get over that.
Mr. Dozier, I ask you to reflect on the absurdity of wanting beach volleyball banned from the Olympics because you were hot for your cousin.
Are you laughing at me?
It's amusing to me.
You know, Mr. Grant, you know,
yes.
This is akin to banning skiing because you live in Kansas and there aren't any hills.
Exactly. To ban corn.
This is
because,
not Bob Grant. This is the Phil Henry Show. The old lady's wrong.
You fell in love with a cousin who went out and had a roll in the hay with, you know, a guy driving a tractor.
Okay, now I can hear the lady laughing. Now, that's unacceptable.
No, but it is. It's just too bad.
All right, who put that on?
Turn that on. That's the Olympic theme.
I don't want to hear that ever, ever again.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I got to tell you, we have a poll on our website. Which of our characters would you like to meet? Vernon's right up there. I mean, he's like running in third or fourth or fifth place, something like that. I love that guy. He's borderline psycho. Borderline? He's full on. Guy had a thing for his cousin. Can you imagine how nuts that is? The only problem is, it happened to be true in my case. I cued the wrong thing, but that's right. I fell for my cousin. How about you? I admit it. I was 11 years old. She came out from Canada. Her name was Fran. She was 15, and she was hot. She was gorgeous. My cousins came out to visit us from Toronto, Canada. And I tell you what. It was all I could do. She'd make a man's palm sweat.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Sure, bud. What?
Is Fran short for Frank?
Think you're funny, don't you? You ever have a cousin you fell for?
Not that I'd admit to. On national radio.
Well, it happened to be true, man. I mean, she was...
So it was a chick.
Yeah, it was a chick, okay? We already worked that joke. So she was something else, man, and I never did tell her how I felt, but if I had told her how I felt, my dad probably would have beaten me for it, so probably a good thing I didn't say anything. Oh, wait a minute, is that, I think I'm listening to the airport terminal. Bobby and Steve Dooley are going on vacation, Bobby, or where are you guys heading off to?
Just, Phil, for a very short time, Steve and I are going to be spending the
spending the last part of the summer in Hawaii. So we wanted to get a head start on some of the back-to-school travel and things like that.
Well, you're going
to
be on our program tomorrow night, right?
As we are every Thursday night, so yeah, and we're looking forward to it. Steve is, he wants to be more a part of the interviews, and I always tell him that he's my support. What is the song, Steve?
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yeah, he's the wind beneath my wings.
I'm the wind beneath your wings.
Well, that's good, Steve, that you're the wind beneath her wings, right?
That she said.
I'm the president of the Homeowners Association, so I should do most of the talking. But my husband's a wonderful man. He's very supportive. I do have a doctor's appointment I've got to get to. There's a little bit of burning when I go to the bathroom. I don't know what that's about.
Not me. Don't look at me.
I'm not looking at you.
Well, I'd rather not talk about this if you don't mind, okay?
Well, in any event, we'll be on tomorrow night.
I'm the one beneath your wings.
We get it. Thank you. I'll hold the phone. Thank you, Phil.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bobby. Steve, thank you.
I win beneath their wings.
Bobby and Steve Dooley, he's the wind beneath their wings. And they're going to be on tomorrow night on the Phil Henry Show. And Friday night, of course, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got a mailbag coming up. We had a feature on the show for a while, Funniest Lines Ever on our show, the show's Funniest Lines, and this is a great opportunity for us when we go to our mailbag for some of you guys, if you remember some of the funniest lines from the show, to send them in, and just to refresh your memory, we'll have a few for you, some of the things that I'm fond of. You know, you've heard them at the top of the hour. One of them is, you know, all it takes is the courage to say, get in there and make me some bean dip, stuff like that. And also our mailbag may have some questions about different aspects of the radio show, things you've heard us talk about. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. Jeff Dowder coming up next hour, and Blake Dunst will guess your weight. Next hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some beer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
This hour, Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. We have a Phil Hendry Show mailbag and Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst. And tomorrow night, Bobby and Steve Dooley, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Don't forget, your Steve Bozell for President t-shirts are available. And these are going to be a limited item, obviously, because after the election, I guess we could keep selling them, but we're not going to make any more. So if you want to get your Steve Bozell for President, Vote For Me or I'll Sue You t-shirt, 100% cotton. All the stuff we sell on the website is top-notch. It's a top-drawer thing. All right. The state of Illinois sued the Dave Matthews Band on two... Who? Yeah, David.
Look, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, this is about the third time. What do you need?
I heard you talking about the Blake Dunst bit with a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. And I'd like you to promote it. It's something that I worked on getting on your show.
Some guy named Blake Dunst guessed your weight with Blake Dunst. What is that about?
What is it about?
Yeah.
It's about entertainment. It's about getting something on your show that's got a little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of showbiz, something that's going to appeal to women. That's what it's about.
Guess your weight?
Look, Phil, you know, a lot of shows got astrology things, this and that. I'm just trying to perk the show up. I'm trying to perk up the entertainment value. Did you call him?
Who?
Did you call Blake Dunst?
No.
I said that you would.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
I want you to introduce yourself to him and tell him you're looking forward to having him on the show. This is a very big thing.
So, in other words, this guy is going to...
Look, I don't want to debate it with you. I just want you to be more positive with it. Promote it.
Well, what?
I said to promote it.
Okay, coming up is Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst.
Do it better.
David.
I said to do it better.
Coming up is Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst.
Better. Don't go there. Just do it.
Coming up, Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst.
Okay, what's it about?
I don't know what it's about.
I told you what it's about. You're going to sit in a leather chair and...
and by the sound of the squeaks that the chair makes, he can guess how much you weigh. Now, you're going to do it out on the street. Did you ever see the bit that Jay Leno does called jaywalking?
Oh, come on, David.
Yeah, I know. You look down your nose at Jay Leno. He only makes about $80 billion a year. His show is only worth millions every year for NBC. But you don't want to do what he does, huh? That might make you money.
Oh, come on, man. That jaywalking? Give me a break, dude. It's right down the middle, okay? I don't do that. You know I don't do that.
No, you don't do that. That's why your show blows on wheels. Now, I'm telling you, guess your weight with Blake Dunst is going to be a smash.
My show blows on wheels.
That's what I said.
You know, I'm going to remember that.
I hope you do.
I'm going to remember that.
Hey, do me a favor, will you, Phil?
Yeah.
Remember that. Should I do it?
Do what?
Do it!
Coming up is Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst. When you sit in the chair by the squeaks, he'll say how much you weigh. Is that it?
Well, by the and also the sound the leather makes.
By the sound that the squeaks and the leather makes, when you sit down in a chair, he'll guess how much you weigh. We'll be out on the street doing it, talking to some passerbys, and...
Oh, forget it. You sound so freaking cynical.
Fine. The state of Illinois sued the Dave Matthews Band on Tuesday. The state of Illinois sued the Dave Matthews Band on Tuesday. And do you want to know why? Because the Dave Matthews Band has dumped 800 pounds of liquid human waste from their tour bus into the Chicago River. So all of these musicians and groupies, all of their, oh, God, went into the Chicago River? The lawsuit accuses the band and one of its bus drivers of violating state water pollution and public nuisance laws, seeking $70,000 in civil penalties or whatever. Yeah, they might want to just get some people over, just have them killed. Why even try to get the 70 G's? Just have Dave Matthews taken out. You drive down the... You know, one of these things about being a rock star, I understand that you can certainly... You can certainly see yourself as a legitimate contender to, you know, celebrity. You could see yourself as someone who is a person that should be paid attention to. You're making some statements that about the human condition that the human race is listening to, right? That doesn't allow you to go peeing in every stream you come across. Or is the state of Illinois persecuting Dave Matthews because he happens to be anti-Bush? Aha! Our driver has stated he was not involved in this incident, band spokesman John Valala said in a statement. So the bus driver didn't open... What do you think, Dave Matthews did it? Dave went out there and opened the spigot and said, hey, man, this looks as good a place as any, you know what I'm saying?
Mr. Matthews, we can't...
Oh, who gives a crap? Come on, man, let's just dump it in. Come on, man, I gotta get on the next gig, you know?
Mr. Matthews, this is a violation of the state of Illinois.
Look, you just shut your mouth and drive the bus, huh? Now, help me with this big damn winch here. Just
right into the river it went.
You know, Dave Matthews' music is tremendous. I really like it. I like his music. I like how unique the musicality is, the lyrics. I like his view of the world. I'm not necessarily in agreement with everything he says on his website, but that's not what it's about for me. For me, it's the music. You know, my wife's got the brand new double CD set where I don't like the fact that he jettisoned the band on the last CD. I hope he stays with the band. The band's great. It was like him doing a solo thing, which I understand. But you will not crap in my river. Just like Al Pacino there in that great movie Heat. He says, you can sleep with my wife if she wants you to. You can sit down and have dinner in my home. But you will not watch my television set. Boy, that sure as heck takes a... At least it was Dave Matthews and it wasn't somebody like, I don't know, Big Boy or... You know what I'm saying? You know, just... There's certain artists that'd be real nasty if they're... Then on the other end of the stick, you're going to be seeing guys running down there with flavor straws if they said, Britney Spears dumped 800 pounds of liquid human waste. I'm kidding. I didn't mean to say that.
Oh, my God, that's horrific.
I'm joking around.
How horrifying for you to say that.
Well, you know how perverted some people are. Jessica Simpson's tour bus dumped 800 pounds of poo into a river, and fans from miles around... At least it wasn't Queen Latifah's tour bus. Ah, man. Oh.
That's nasty, dude. It's just old Dave. And Dave Matthews, he's the kind of guy you figure he drinks his fair share of booze, but he probably washes it back with, like, wheatgrass shakes or something. Yeah, he probably eats a lot of broccoli, a lot of cauliflower with ranch dip. Probably, you know, chases all of his whiskey with rainwater. I think the guy's a pretty pure living dude, right? So that's cool. Dave Matthews Band dumping 800 pounds of liquid waste from a tour bus. So anyway, the state of Illinois is going after him, and it's 70,000 G's. It's not anything that's going to bust him, man. That's for sure. But it does make a statement. None of you people, unless of course you are someone, hot. Like if it's Carmen Electra's tour, I don't know. But in any event, they're going after him. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Queen Latifah's tour bus. Coming up, Guess Your Weight with Blake Dunst. I hope I said that as enthusiastic as I possibly could. And Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts and our mailbag. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Right, we're outside our studios here in Sherman Oaks, California. We're just out in the middle of the Sherman Oaks Galleria. And can you guys hear me in the studio? Can you hear? Am I loud enough here? And I'm going to get over here, Mr. Blake Dunst. And you have a seat right there, Mr. Dunst. And we have a leather chair here, right, that you brought?
Yeah, our leather chair from our... from our factory here in Woodland.
All right, and it's very noisy, so I'm going to hold the microphone as close to you. Is this a special kind of leather chair, sir?
No, this is a chair that we have developed in association with Denise Austin, who is the fitness expert.
Why do you guess people's weight by the sound of them sitting in a chair? How did this come about?
We found out that there were doctors... offices, and there were medical clinics and this sort of thing who were experiencing some malfunctions with weight scales, and we volunteered our services.
To guess people's weights?
To come into the office, yes, and to listen to the sound that their body makes when they sit in a chair, and we can guess.
All right. What is your name, sir?
Howard.
And Howard, where do you live?
Encino.
Say that again, sir.
I live in Encino.
All right. Howard's going to sit in this chair, right?
All right, yes. Howard, hi, I'm Blake Dunst.
Hi.
I want you to sit in this chair and just relax easily. Just flow into the chair.
All right.
Go ahead.
Is that, that's the...
That's the chair. Are you just... Did you float? Howard, get up for a minute, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Now, Howard... When you sit down...
I'm just sitting down in the chair. I don't want
him... I know. What do you want him to do?
I want him to just easily just watch what I do. See, I'm just a shift of your hips, just a little wiggle of the hips, and just fall into the chair as if you're liquid.
As though I'm liquid?
Yes.
Can you do that, Howard?
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right, he made a pretty big squeak, huh?
Howard, I'm guessing that you weigh 130 pounds.
130? The guy's 6'3".
No, I don't.
How much do you weigh, Howard?
284. Small.
284, all right.
Well, then you didn't guess right, did you?
Well, you have to get warmed up.
Here's a lady here. What is your name, dear?
I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary. Now, she's a very petite little gal, right?
She's a very small... Mary, sit down in the chair very easily... Okay. All right. There we go. All right.
Now, how much does she weigh?
350.
350? She's 5'2".
You yelling at me for?
Well, you're supposed... Thank you, ma'am.
You guys are nuts.
All right. Do we want to do anything else here? Hold on for a minute. I want to... Do you want to do anything else?
Phil, what I'd like to do is adjust the chair. I think there's just a little bit of a...
I tell you what, rather than bother these people, why don't I sit down in the chair?
All right. You can do that.
And I'll get you... All right, I'm going to sit in the chair, Bud. Are you back in the studio? Can you hear me, Bud?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right. I'm going to sit down in the chair. Is there anything you want me to do?
Just wiggle your hips a little.
All right, I'm wiggling. What, am I supposed to fall into the chair like I'm liquid? Is that it?
That's right.
Well, how much do I weigh?
You're off the charts. I can...
Give me that phone.
Yeah, David.
It's beautiful. Are you listening to it?
What do you mean, am I listening to it? I'm in the middle of it.
It's great.
What do you mean it's great, man? He couldn't guess this chick's 5'2". He says she's 350. Then he had a guy that was 6'8", said he was 130.
Well, everybody makes a mistake. I love that.
What's the love, man?
That's the comedy value.
Oh, I see. I'll guess your weight and I'll be wrong.
Well, he did call you an animal, didn't he?
My God, Mr. Hall, you should have been here. But Phil, sit down in the chair again.
I don't want to sit. Go ahead, sit. I don't want to sit.
What a fat slob! Yes, that's right, folks. Quarter slim works.
Getting you guys done getting your kicks?
Boy, you really, really enjoy a dessert, don't you?
All right, let's go to our flashback, okay?
I don't want to go to a flashback.
I'm going to a flashback.
And who? Oh, it's Margaret Gray, and she had to wait in line for the buffet, David.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I was concerned with why she's calling them brats if they actually haven't done anything to her.
Well, I think they're working for the president in order to humiliate me.
Oh, come on, will you? Did he go out and find 40 kids to get in line in front of you so they'd get to the omelet station first and mess it up with scrambled eggs so you couldn't get that real good omelet that Chef George... Are you telling me that that's the case?
I have been very critical of the president, yes.
But why are you sitting there and... Okay, so the kids actually didn't do... Let me be more specific here.
Well, they didn't do anything, but, you know, they're still enemy. They're still enemy soldiers.
Well, listen, what? I'm trying to understand from your standpoint, Margaret, and you're trying to make a point, and I see that, and I understand that you're highly respected, okay? But what I'm saying is that somebody else actually escorted these children in front of you, okay? And you're calling
them names. Yes, it was said right, and I said, get the brats out of there. I get to the omelets before they do.
And you said
that? Because it's understood.
Yes.
Okay, and were you escorted up front, or did somebody actually say something
to
you?
No, they didn't. They told me to just, I'm just going to have to wait. The president wants them to eat first. And I said, okay, I know what this is about. It's about the fact that I've taken Kerry's stand on the Swift boat controversy.
Well, you know what? You know, you're pretty much humiliating yourself, and what I'm, I mean, you're
I don't know how, but I will tell you this. You sound like a Bush supporter.
Listen, ma'am, you're mocking politics with omelets.
I knew
okay?
it.
That is really sad. You're really sad. And, I mean, this is...
You know, Elizabeth, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes?
Ma'am,
you look like a rube.
You need to back off.
A well-scrubbed,
you know
hustling
you're
rube.
You're mocking everybody. You're
good
mocking
nutrition's
everybody.
Given you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
Okay, I did not call you names.
With all their sticky-tied fumblings in the back seats of cars, and all you wanted to do, Elizabeth, is get out. Get anywhere. Get out of the way.
To the FBI.
Are you there, Elizabeth?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know. That woman's problem seems to be profound. Mental, physical, emotional, everything.
That is totally inappropriate, and she's degrading her profession by the way she speaks.
So you didn't want to get out to the FBI?
Ma'am.
What do you mean, get out to the FBI?
Can I explain to you, Elizabeth, that they have Denver, Western, vegetable, mushroom omelets?
I I love food myself, ma'am. I love food. I totally respect that. I totally respect
all
the
right.
love of food.
Okay, so why do the brats get to eat before me when all
okay.
they know is cowboy scramble and ketchup?
Okay, you know what? First off, again, the brat thing, the kids didn't put themselves in front of you. Somebody else did.
Oh,
so
little...
calling them names is inappropriate. If you want to call them children, that's fine.
You
but
do
you
like,
know what?
You do like food, don't you?
I love food.
I can
I
tell.
Totally
there's, a little bit of,
the fact that...
there's a little bit of a glottal in your throat. There's
ma'am?
A little bit of a fat vibration.
Okay, and what
you know,
does that have to do with anything?
Well, you made some references that were personal, so...
What are you saying? Are you saying the lady's fat?
No.
Oh, yeah. That just sounds
you want
like
to know something, ma'am? I'm 6 feet tall. I weigh 160. And I've got red hair. Do you really want to mess with me? I don't think so.
And you've got red hair?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to have to
I speak up for myself, too. And you spoke up for yourself. That's
well, you know what?
To
you're
do.
6 feet tall. You say you've got red hair. But we're going to find out whether those drapes match the rug or not. And
oh, my God.
You know,
you're so inappropriate.
God, no kidding.
You know what? You're degrading your profession as you speak. You know what? You are degrading your profession
you,
as you speak.
You know what you could do for all of us? You know what? You could sit on the phone and we'll guess your weight.
Margaret,
oh
you
God.
Have gone from trying
ma'am,
to make a valid
ma'am,
point.
You know what? I'll send you a friggin' photograph of me. And you can see, and you know what? That has nothing. What is? Why do you have to downgrade other
exactly.
people to make yourself feel better?
Exactly.
That you know, that's really pathetic.
You make myself
I mean, really
feel like Adrian Beltre.
You're just making yourself sound worse.
Come
the
on,
the more
Elizabeth,
you talk.
Would you do that for me, darling? Would you sit on the phone? And
all right, get out of here.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, I'll get back in from the street. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show, our mailbag ahead.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jeff Dotter ahead with Olympic Thoughts and also our mailbag. And a look at the news this evening on the Phil Hendry Show. Also a reminder, our website is www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. And a couple of things. Bea Arthur set off a security scare at Logan's Airport. Bea Arthur, the actress who appeared in the television show Golden Girls, because she tried to get on a plane with a pocket knife and then held it to the throat of the pilot. Now, Ms. Arthur, I'm joking. The actress, 81, was about to board a Cape Air flight when a Transportation Security Administration agent discovered the offensive article in her belongings, which is strictly forbidden. Oh, get out of here, a terrorist scare. Boy, you guys, you cats that write the news, man, you really, it really must be just ever so slow these days. You know how many times I've been stopped with a knife on me or a gun? It doesn't set off a terrorist scare. The guy tells you to get rid of the gun, that's all. I tried to get on the plane the other day with a freaking AK-47. A guy said, oh, you're going to have to put that in the... He asked me to put the gun in the little plastic thing, and I did. No, seriously, you know what they tell you, man? Oh, you can't have that... Oh, I'm sorry. A terrorist scare? Are you guys so freaking hard up for news, man, that you're picking on that old bag? Poor old B. It's not enough that she's about 8 feet tall and sounds like, Herman Munster. You guys are coming up with a terrorist scare? What website is this on? I might have known. IMDb.com. The movie page. The actress was about to board a Cape Air flight when a Transportation Security Administration agent, in other words, one of those cats in the baggy pants with the shirt, and you know, some of them have spiked hair and like a lip piercing, and others are just kind of normal, discovered the offensive article in her belongings, which is strictly forbidden on airplanes since the September the 11th attacks. A fellow passenger says she started yelling that it wasn't hers and said, the terrorists put it there. Oh, so she was yelling, huh? She kept yelling about the terrorists, the terrorists, the terrorists. After the knife was confiscated by TSA officials, the funny woman pulled out a key ring from her bag and told the agent it belonged to the terrorists before throwing it at them. As she boarded the plane, the Emmy-winning star told the TSA employees we're all doomed. It is pretty funny. A spokesman...
You know, some people, they just ain't, they're not digging it. It doesn't matter. They're never going to dig the whole security slowdown since 9/11. But belly aching about it ain't going to do diddly squat, Jim, so you might as well just live with it or try walking. How about that? The hell, do you hear that beeping? What the hell is that?
What if it's the phone?
Anyway, look, at you know, when the guy says to you, you can't take a knife on the plane, don't go into overdrive. Just give him the knife or throw it away or mail it back to your... You know what you can do is mail it back to yourself. In Aspen, at the little Aspen airport there, remember they found that skinning knife in my bag? I'm kidding. No, but Maria, she forgot to... She had a little of those little Swiss Army knives. They said there's a post office in the Aspen airport. You walk over there, you mail it back to your house. Big deal. How long has it been going on? We got to start getting with it, man. Take your stupid shoes off. Take all the crap out of your pockets. Just get through the damn security thing. It's not worth it. If you got a plane to catch, you're going to sit there and start jaw-jacking with a TSA guy, one of those guys with the baggy pants. He looks like he ought to be... He's either, like, checking bags or he's you know, waxing a floor in an apartment house or something, those uniforms they give him. The airport, some of the airports are getting better. LAX has gotten fantastic now because they have... more of those kind of bag checking stations than they used to have. So you can just go to your own individual little bag checking station. You know how they always say, oh, you know what? Your number came up. You're going to have to go over and have your bag ripped open, right? And I'm always the guy that happens to. They never once did they ever bypass my bag. Only in Mexico where they make you push that stoplight. Have you ever done that in Mexico? Boy, they got a real sense of humor down there. You go through customs in Mexico, right? You're on your way into the country. And they have you walk up to what looks like a stoplight, and you push the button. If it turns green, you can go. If it turns red, you got to have your bags picked over. So it's just random. And I'm always hitting green down there. Up here, they're always ripping my bag open. But what are you going to do? You want to walk? You want to drive your car? You want to take pack mule? You know, what's the answer? Complain about it? They ain't going to listen to you. There's just too much. There's too much confusion about the whole security situation in this country. Not enough of it, somebody's going to scream that an airplane got hijacked. Too much of it, people are screaming that their First Amendment rights are getting messed with. Just like Michael Moore saying that Linda Ronstadt's First Amendment rights got messed with. Not really. When you stop to think that she was on private property, she was in somebody else's hotel. You can say whatever you want. Yeah, true. On your own property, if you've got a license to or a permit to demonstrate, if you're given the permission to speak your mind wherever it is that you are. But I mean, you can't just walk into like a theater and start screaming things like Bush is a turd or Kerry is a walking butt log and not have somebody throw you out. Isn't that like a violation of free speech? Of course not. Guys like trying to watch a movie. Want to get on a plane, man? They're gonna tell you to take your freaking knife out of there. All the knives that I carry, I put in my check baggage. All of my guns, everything go there. And when I get on that, when I'm going through that security, my pants will come off if I have to. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I take off my shoes, my belt, my shirt, my tongue piercing. I take everything out, everything off. My plastic leg, my eyeball, the prosthetic limbs, everything come off. That way, nobody's going to mess with you. Instead, there's B. Arthur. And everybody probably thought it was like Herman Munster in a wig, and she's causing all kinds of problems. Hollywood golden couple Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston are adopting a baby, according to the actor's younger brother, Doug. The Troy star and his stunning wife, who wed in July 2000, have made no secret of their desire to start a family since Aniston finished filming Friends earlier this year. Aniston has said, "We're absolutely in the process of having a baby. It's where we're headed." Doug told British Weekly Closer he's looking forward to becoming an uncle, saying, "I'm really pleased." Weren't they trying to have a baby like the normal way, the natural way? Are they not able to? All these couples that are adopting, and what's the very first thing that happens? He must be a fag. Hey, Brad, won't be long for you, man. They did it to, what's his name, Cruz. They're going to do it to you. Brad Pitt, is he gay? What's the matter, man? Can't you have a baby? Can't you make a baby? Must not be having sex with her. You must be gay. We're delighted that Brad and Jen are adopting. It'll be a great addition to our family, and it'll also cover up the fact that Brad is a screaming, raving queer.
The good-looking pair admitted they are house hunting in England for a place to bring up their child, since America is such a toilet and they don't want to raise any kids here, especially if Bush gets elected. Pitt explained, "I've always liked England. Jen always liked England. She likes Europe, and since we're wealthy enough, we can live anywhere we want. We think we'll have about 6 houses, one in America, one in Europe, one in Africa, one in Asia, and one on the moon." So we're looking for a place soon. Europe is a great place for kids to grow up, he said. Why? How's Europe a great place for kids to grow up? Explain that one for me. I'm not saying it's bad, but why is it a great place for a kid to grow up? Kids that come out of Europe, sometimes they're okay and sometimes they're super messed up. In other words, they're no different from American kids. I see some kids out of Europe, man, I want to take a flamethrower to them. Some of these guys, how about them soccer hooligans? Those guys and the guy that tried to light his shoes on fire, you know, cats like that. Why? Because there's a whole bunch of really interesting museums. Look, if you're a kid that grows up in Europe, museums are boring. To you, going to the Champs-Élysées or the Arc de Triomphe or the Louvre or the whatever it is that you go to, that may be a real groovy thing, but the kid that goes there every day, it's just like going to Disneyland every day. Imagine all the kids that grew up in America, they want to go to Disneyland, right? My kids have been 9 times because we live 15 miles from the dump. Now when I say you want to go to Disneyland, are you kidding? That place is boring. I only go to Six Flags. Come on, let's go to Disneyland. Let's ride on the, you know, they redid Space Mountain. Are you kidding me or something? Space Mountain? That's lame, man. That's whack. Superman escapes? Colossus? Corkscrew? Like they're all with knots and Six Flags. You guys used to love Disneyland. Yeah, when we were like 5. Now we want to go someplace really, I mean, Six Flags is radical. They like that, all the stuff they got at Six Flags, the stuff that's guaranteed to destroy your inner ear, all that stuff over there, they that's where they live, man. They want to go there, they want to go upside down. They got that loop-de-loop roller coaster at Disneyland at that California Screamin'. I went on that thing once and said, yeah, that's pretty good. The kids are all like, you know how they take pictures of you as you come around the bend on some of those rides? So like on Splash Mountain, when you're going over the edge, they snap a picture, and then you can go at the end of the ride and buy it, and you see yourself going, like that, right? So the same thing on that California Screamin', as you come around, sweep around toward the end, you see the camera go off, and it's supposed to get a picture of you guys going, you know, all of you in the car going, you know, screaming, your eyes bugged open, right? So what does my oldest son do? He pulls his sweatshirt hood on real tight, puts on a pair of shades, and purposefully has a look on his face like he couldn't be more bored, right? So everybody else in the car is just, and you see my son, he's just, just this completely straight face with the shade. In other words, he looks like the Unabomber. He looks exactly like the freaking Unabomber with the shades and the hood, and he's just, hi. How'd I get on that with Brad Pitt being gay? All right, and the other news that we had for you, are you a dangerous driver? There's 10 ways to tell. Number one, when you reach a stop sign and no one's coming from another direction, do you roll through it instead of stopping? Well, you suck if you do. Do you talk on the cell phone while driving instead of pulling off and stopping to talk? Well, guess what? Then you're not a good driver. That means about 99% of us. Do you take your coffee and muffin or other food and drink on the road with you, driving with one hand while using the other to eat? Yes, I do, and I'm a good driver. Now, let me tell you something about eating while you drive. I'm very experienced at this. I know all the fast food places that make the best sandwiches to eat with one hand. McDonald's is one of them. McDonald's makes a fantastic sandwich. It's called a quarter pounder with cheese. It can be eaten in a car without slopping all over your shirt. Number two, Jack in the Box's Sourdough Jack. Outstanding. Okay, those are the two best sandwiches to eat while you're driving. You can do it with one hand. People drive with one hand. Don't panic. Who are these jackballs to do these pulls anyway? Number three, if you're out shopping in a crowded area and are looking for a parking space, do you become so focused on your search that you lose sight of the cars and pedestrians around you? Yeah, I do. In fact, I ran over 16 people. What are you talking about? Have you run over people in parking lots? Yes, I have. You're a bad driver. Oh, wow, okay, great. That's my problem. Do you hate driving behind SUVs or other large vehicles that obstruct your view? Yes. Does that make me a bad driver? Does your driving change when you go into areas with higher police presence? Of course. Does listening to music while you drive sometimes leave you oblivious to all but the music? Yes. This makes me bet. We're all bad drivers. Of course, all you got to do is go out and drive to know that. All right, coming up is Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts in our mailbag on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for Olympic Thoughts. Jeff Dowder in Athens, our man in Athens throughout the Olympics, joins us from Athens. Jeff, exciting marathon, not a marathon, it was a 1500 last night, right?
The 1500 last night was won by this Moroccan dude, and he won the 1500 meters race. One of the things you have to know about Morocco, Phil, because I read up on it, they're very poor and they don't eat a lot down there. And if you saw this guy who won the race last night, he was super skinny and he probably hadn't eaten in weeks before he come up there. And the only reason why he came to the Olympics probably is to get something to eat. So, but what happens is this. You go to the Olympics because you want to get something to eat, but they make you run first. And so they make you run the race before they feed you anything. And then when the race was done, he was so hungry, if you saw it, he dropped down on his knees. He tried to eat part of the track because he was so weak. Mike, the Jeff Dowder comment, isn't there nothing we can do about that? I think we should remind all the Olympic teams to grab a snack before they leave to come to the Olympics because they won't feed you, you know, until you run your race.
What, are you an idiot or something?
What?
The guy's skinny, man, because that's all of the, those cross... Ain't you ever seen those cross-country runners?
We talk about cross-country. It's 1,500.
I know, but all those distance guys are skinny up top because all the muscle goes into their legs.
Well, yeah, you can say that. A guy looks just like one of them babies on the, Sally Struthers commercials that I've seen, of the ones what I've seen. He looks just like... Didn't you see him try to eat the track?
What do you mean, eat the track? The guy was tired and fell down on his hands and knees. He was praising Allah or some bullcrap like that, probably.
Oh.
This has been Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy last night, the Moroccan dude, he wasn't trying to eat the track, man. He was simply trying to... He was simply, you know, saying, hey, this is groovy. Although those guys are pretty skinny. Like, you don't have to be that skinny, do you? Do you really got to slim skin down like that to run distance? I don't know. I just sounded like Jeff. Oh. Time now for our mailbag. You can send us a little piece of mail, good, bad, or indifferent, to phs@philhendryshow.com. Dear Phil, you're absolutely wonderful, and my husband and I listen to you every night. I have your T-shirt and a Ted's of Beverly Hills apron, and it's always a subject of conversation every time I wear it. Keep up the good work. Did you have imaginary friends when you were young? Ciao, Sharon. No, I never had imaginary friends, Sharon. I talked a lot to myself, but that's only because my parents talked to themselves. If you're asking me, did I live in a house where the people were mad? Yes. Phil, you've mentioned several times that you are a lifelong Democrat and in your opinion the party has, well, lost its way. Would you consider revealing to your listeners what you thought the Democrat and Republican Party stood for at the time that you decided to choose one over the other? It was probably in the early 70s. You were in your 20s. It was a very strange America. Best wishes, Peter. Wintipak, Florida. Well, when I became a Democrat, I became a Democrat in the tradition of Roosevelt and Kennedy. Roosevelt was a Democratic president who had no fear of putting men into combat when it was to secure the interests of our country. He had no fear. There was no knee-jerk reaction against the military. The military was a tool that our country used when we had to use it. Additionally, John Kennedy was a tax cutter. He was a Democrat, but he wasn't afraid of cutting taxes when he needed to. In other words, these guys were flexible. They were pragmatic. At one time, Roosevelt promoted a partnership between business and government that was absolutely positive, and the vestiges of it remain with us today. including Social Security and the GI Bill. Thank you. Phil, I'm a Backstage Pass listener for about 2 years. I pull down your MP3s and store them for later playing. But I just heard one of the funniest things I've ever heard. It was Margaret Gray talking about gender equality and non-specificity. At one point, she says, "Let me tell you about a beautiful woman that I knew once, Agnes Moorehead, who lay on her deathbed and said to me, 'Margaret, get me a penis.'" Now, that's funny. Well, you're right. We all appreciate the laughs. Wes Spears. Dear Phil, what the hell is Jackball? Just wondering. Rich Ramaneda, Chino, California. I don't know. It's a cross between Jackass and Oddball, I think. And the last letter is too long to read. We'll save it for our mailbag next week, though. Thank you for all of your email. phs@philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.